Teach your children to start saving for retirement from the moment they receive their first paycheck. No, 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 no. Rather, teach them how to build a cash reserve and then not deplete it through spending. Okay? They can add retirement savings later if they think that's a worthwhile endeavor. Now, I said earlier I would get to some explaining spending to save a little bit more. You've heard this before, right? That the biggest lesson, one of the biggest lessons in finance is pay yourself first. You ever heard that? I have a million times. Matter of fact, for the longest time, I had no idea. I couldn't even figure out what they were talking about. I mean, I'm like, well, I'll pay myself first. I got paid at work. Hold on a second. So what do I do? Take my check and put it in the bank first? Is that paying myself first? I mean, you know, you start wondering, what are they talking about? And then the other thing I say you hear kind of like that is value your savings or value your past earnings. I say that a lot more because I think it makes more sense. If you quote unquote pay your – most people, when they say pay yourself first, they mean this. You get your check, take some money that you made and put it in savings. That's kind of what they mean. And as far as that goes, that's okay. But that's not in the strictest sense, in my opinion, paying yourself first. It's just called saving. Okay? So I'm going to give you what I call a kind of a case study, something that actually happens in my business all the time. Well, in my business, not everybody's business, because nobody else does business like I do that I know of. So here's the idea. Now, by the way, this thing is very difficult to describe, and you may not get it as I talk about it. I regularly have debates about this topic because people have been brainwashed to think about money one way, and they cannot believe what I'm telling them. And that's okay. I'm willing to have the arguments. I think most of the miscommunications that I have and the arguments are based on a misconception. It comes from a failure on the other side, usually to understand the reality of our monetary system, which I was just discussing. But here is a real-life, strange situation I regularly encounter. Here's how it goes. And it'll feed into this whole idea of paying yourself first or valuing your past earnings and savings. So a guy comes to me and he's hocked up to his eyeballs in debt. And he's making massive payments to the creditors. Let's just make up numbers. Guy comes to me and he's spending $2,500 a month just servicing debt. Okay. So he says, man, I heard you talking and you told me be your own banker and manage debt. And I don't know, some other things you said that sounded pretty nifty. So, I know, saving by spending. I want in, dude. Sign me up. So I say, okay. And we create a Be Your Own Banker bank. We do it, right? Now, over time, what we're going to do is we're going to flip those debts he has to outside creditors and start making payments to ourselves, what I call self-financing or inside creditor, myself. Now I am, by the way, notice I'm spending the same amount of money, but it's going to my savings account. It's a nifty little thing. Hey, don't worry about it if you don't understand. Don't worry about it. But he just listened to the end of this story. So we start to replace the outside finance. We finally get all the outside financing replaced. We're doing internal self-financing. And the guy comes to me and he says this. Hey, Dave, I can't pay my note anymore. Hey, can I pay less than what we set up? By the way, normally when I set these self-financing, we do make the terms more generous for the client because they want a little cash flow break usually. But anyway, he says, can I pay less than the lesser amount we already did for myself? Or he'll say something like this, hey, man, can I suspend my payments for, I don't know, indefinitely? Now think about this. Before he came to me, he was spending $2,500 a month, and he never, ever, ever thought about not paying those notes. You know why? Because he didn't want to lose the car. He didn't want to, what else did he have debts on? Oh, he didn't want the credit card collecting people handled him. He didn't want to, the school loan thing, the interest rate to shoot up or something, whatever might happen as a result of him not paying. So he never missed a payment. But for some reason now, he wants to tell me, I can't pay, cannot pay less, I want to suspend payments. Now look, I'm not saying there are certain cases where it's legitimate to do such a thing. Matter of fact, it's the only arena. In other words, if he were living in the old style of outside creditors, he would never be able to do this. But let's say he lost his job. Okay, that's a legitimate one where I would say, absolutely, let's suspend the payments because you don't have a job. That's stupid to keep paying. You wouldn't be able to do that in your other circumstance, which is a great benefit to be your own banker, but no one listens to me, so who cares? Anyway, back to the point. He wants to suspend payments, but he would have never thought about doing that unless he'd lost his job in the old circumstance. But he wants to do it now. And my question is, why would you quit paying yourself? Why would you not try to put your savings back? Do you see what I'm getting at? Going back to some of these lessons for children, stay out of debt or whatever else, manage debt. This is a great way to manage debt, but you've got to at least commit to the same level of commitment that you had when you had outside creditors. It makes no sense at all. This is why I hate people who save money and spend and just spend it on the thing they were saving for. That depresses them. They think it's futile. Why save? Every time I save money, it just goes out the window for the thing I bought, and then the thing I bought breaks, or I don't like it, or it doesn't fulfill me, or whatever else, which is very common. But if you were actually constantly replenishing the money, you would like to spend. You'd like to buy something for yourself and then pay yourself back. Do it over and over and over again in a place that grows well, in a tax advantage place, in a place that you have a gatekeeper like a David Simpson to help you do all this setup and stuff. You can actually make money doing this process. And I could go one step further and prove it, but I'm not going to. I'll just tell you this much. I just had a client. I was doing an evaluation of their portfolio, and they're about to finish their self-financing notes. Now, you might find this strange, but they're about to pay their last note into their little vehicle where they store their wealth, and they have $8,000 more dollars they owe themselves. And you go, what? In other words, they're about to finish paying off all their loans, but there's $8,000 more dollars of notes to be paid. What is that? That is the money they would have paid to an outside creditor had they kept using outside creditors. In other words, I just profited them $8,000 by doing the exact same thing they were doing before, but by doing it in a better way. And I tell this to people and they go, I don't believe you. I mean, okay, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to explain it any other way. I'm showing you on paper that this guy just made, and I should really say he's forcing himself to save $8,000. Because he's self-financed versus externally financed. But this guy actually followed the amortization schedule, paid his debts, instead of saying, oh, I want a break.